Welcome to White Papers, a convenient way for you to listen to white papers written for projects in the Terra Luna ecosystem. Whether you're at the gym, on a drive, or doing the dishes, White Papers helps you absorb the fine details of written white papers. In today's episode, we'll be reading the Mars Protocol Light Paper 2.0. Mars Protocol is a decentralized credit protocol for borrowing and lending in the Terra ecosystem. Disclaimer. This article does not constitute investment advice. Before interacting with Mars, review the project disclaimers. This article is subject to change, but is not guaranteed to be up to date. This was last updated February 1st, 2022, with terminology changes, updating to reflect published frameworks and miscellaneous clarifications and improvements. Section 1. Summary. Mars is a credit protocol for the future, non-custodial, open source, transparent, algorithmic, and community governed. Like banks, Mars aims to attract deposits and lend out this money while managing illiquidity and insolvency risk. Unlike banks, Mars is a fully automated on-chain credit facility governed by a decentralized community via a transparent governance process. All decisions are made by the Martian Council, composed of Mars stakers who put skin in the game to backstop certain kinds of protocol risk in exchange for a portion of the protocol borrowing fees. Mars Protocol is being developed by a joint venture among Delphi Labs, IDEO Colab Ventures, and Terraform Labs. Section 2. How it works. At the heart of Mars is a fully automated on-chain credit facility built on the Terra blockchain. Like existing credit protocols, interest rates are priced algorithmically based on utilization rate. Unlike existing credit protocols, Mars will utilize a dynamic interest rate model based on control theory, allowing for greater responsiveness and capital efficiency. More on this later. Note, dynamic interest rate functionality will not be immediately available at launch. To begin with, Mars will issue collateralized debt to users, collateral to borrow or C2B debt, as well as contract-to-contract debt, or C2C, to whitelisted smart contracts. It seems like there's really two main sides of it. There's what you call C2B lending, and there's C2C lending. Can you guys break down what those are and what the differences are between those two things?
Yeah, for sure. The C2P is just the normal money market functionality that people are used to from stuff like Anchor or Aave or Compound, where users can basically come in, they can put some asset in as collateral, which will also be earning interest because it'll be getting loaned out algorithmically. And then they can borrow another asset from the protocol. And this always has to be over collateralized because basically users can do whatever they want with the asset they borrow, right? And so if you made it under collateralized, there would be no incentive for anyone to pay back their loan. It would basically, you know, if you put in $100 a Luna and you can borrow $150 worth of UST, you just run off with the UST, right? Which isn't ideal. So the idea is that for that, it's over collateralized, and then there the interest rate accrues continuously, and there's some incentive to liquidate once the position drops below its margin threshold. So all very similar to Anchor. And then I think the more innovative side is the contract to contract lending, which Larry can jump into and give an overview of.
Right. So the problem with what we call traditional lending market protocol like Aave and Compound is that when you borrow, you must first provide a collateral, and the collateral asset basically just sitting idle in the lending market smart contract doing nothing. So some protocol addresses this by allowing users to use yield generating collateral, which is okay, but we don't think that is the end game. We think the end game is users will be able to borrow, but still has control over their collateral asset. So the user has their collateral asset under their control, can still make use of it, and still can borrow from us against those collateral. So that is our what we want to achieve. But the problem is humans in general are not trustworthy. I think we all agree with this. And we can't ensure if we lend to a human, then the human may just run away with their collateral asset and whatever they borrowed. So that doesn't work. So the way contract lending works is that we lend to smart contracts with with verifiable source code and mechanism built in that ensures the smart contract can always repay. We will review the source code, and if we find the contract is trustworthy, then our community governance will decide on giving the contract a borrow limit, which can be borrowed without explicitly depositing a collateral asset into our lending market.
For the C2C portion, initial whitelisted smart contracts will be built by the Mars team and will involve simple, leveraged yield farming strategies. Eventually, the goal is for C2C lending to become a facility available to other protocols to build innovative leverage-based products on top of. These protocols are expected to need to go through a governance process, which includes a risk assessment to be allowed to use this facility. A series of articles to be published in the coming weeks will get into this process more thoroughly. The system is comprised of four main stakeholders. 1. Lenders. Lenders deposit assets into Mars liquidity pools and earn an interest rate. Number 2. Borrowers, collateralized. These borrowers borrow assets from Mars liquidity pools using their deposited assets as collateral. These borrowers must therefore also be depositors, or lenders. Number 3. Borrowers, contract-based. Smart contracts that borrow assets from Mars liquidity pools without posting collateral. Each smart contract credit line must be approved by governance and will include a credit limit to mitigate the protocol's risk exposure. And number 4, the council. The council will stake Mars in order to earn protocol fees, participate in governance, and backstop certain kinds of protocol risk. Let's take a closer look at these four stakeholders. Collateralized borrowers, or C2B lending. Similar to existing credit protocols, Mars will support non-custodial, over-collateralized borrowing. Users deposit assets into the smart contract liquidity pools, receiving interest-bearing MA tokens, which, through the smart contract functionality, act as their shares of the liquidity pool. They can then choose to borrow using their deposits as collateral. Lending thus serves two purposes: generating yield and, if the user chooses, acting as collateral to borrow against. Borrowers are liquidated when their loan-to-value ratio falls below the required maintenance margin, which happens when their collateral decreases in value relative to their debt. The interest rates paid by borrowers and received by lenders are determined algorithmically, taking into account supply and demand by targeting an optimal utilization rate. More on this in the controller section below. At launch, Mars is currently expected to support UST and Luna for lending and borrowing. Since Mars is asset agnostic, able to support any CW20 or native Terra asset, the community will then be able to propose further assets to be added. Each asset listing proposal must define the asset's risk parameters. Those include liquidation fee, max loan-to-value ratio, or LTV, optimal utilization rate, and maintenance margin, and whether the asset can be used as collateral. The Mars Risk Framework provides an open-source framework for assessing the riskiness of assets and setting appropriate risk parameters. Let's look at an example of this in action. A user deposits 10,000 UST into the Mars credit protocol. They then receive 10,000 MA UST, or Mars UST. The user borrows 312.5 Luna. Let's assume the user's LTV is 50%, their maintenance margin is 55%, and 1 Luna equals 16 UST. Here are the user's liquidation conditions. Assuming UST stays at $1, a 55% maintenance margin means the user would be liquidated once the value of his debt is $5,500. This would happen once Luna's price increased by 10% to $17.60. The user can avoid getting liquidated by either paying down some debt or adding more collateral. Let's look at another example. In this example, the user deposits 625 Luna into the Mars credit protocol as collateral, and in exchange, they receive 625 Mars Luna. The user borrows 5,000 UST. Let's use the same assumptions. The user's LTV is 50%. The maintenance margin is 55%, and 1 Luna equals 16 UST. Here are the user's liquidation conditions. The user deposited 625 Luna worth $10,000 and borrowed 5,000 UST against it. Assuming UST stays at $1, a 55% maintenance margin means the user will get liquidated once Luna's price drops by roughly 9% to $9,091. The user can avoid getting liquidated by either paying down some debt or adding more collateral. Both of these examples work much in the same way as Anchor Protocol, if you're familiar with that. Now let's look at contract-to-contract, or C2C borrowing, and the leveraged yield farming strategies that come with it. Traditional credit protocols offer relatively low interest rates to users. This is because they offer only collateralized loans, which are capital inefficient or have low LTVs, and target a small market since they rely on lenders who also want to borrow. Contract-to-contract borrowing solves this by allowing MARS to tap into a completely new source of borrowing demand: non-depositor borrowers, or third-party smart contract systems. This will generate higher borrow demand and utilization rates, and therefore higher yields for MARS lenders.
One metaphor that I think I gave in our last podcast actually is the idea of like an Airbnb. Like, imagine if on Airbnb you could only actually use Airbnb if you also listed your house for people to stay at, right? That's kind of the situation with current money markets. You can only borrow if you're also a depositor, because you need to have collateral on the protocol. And what MARS enables is it enables you to borrow without actually having your collateral sit on the protocol. So if you think about sort of what Airbnb would be if you had to be a host in order to be a guest, I think that's kind of what MARS can enable as well, where any protocol, any user can kind of benefit from this leverage without actually having to deposit assets there.
The first project that can tap into this facility will be MARS itself. The C2C autonomous credit line will be used within MARS to offer users access to leveraged yield farming strategies. These will allow users to do one-click farming with auto-compounding and the option of adding UST leverage on top. Some credit protocols refer to this as uncollateralized lending instead of MARS' preferred terminology, C2C lending. It's important to realize that these strategies are only uncollateralized in the sense that the collateral doesn't sit in the MARS smart contract system's own liquidity pool. Despite this, the strategies themselves are collateralized with tokens on deposit in the third-party smart contract system that MARS has loaned tokens to. And MARS simply needs to trust the third-party smart contract and the associated liquidation logic in order to safely extend credit. Let's think about an example using the Mirror UST strategy. A user deposits Mirror token into the Mirror UST strategy contract. The MARS UST market sends a UST equivalent into the Mirror UST strategy contract. This is UST borrowed by the user for leverage. Both the Mirror and the UST are sent to the Mirror UST AMM contract and converted into LP tokens, which are then staked on the Mirror staking contract. The Mirror rewards are then sent back to the Mirror UST strategy contract, where the Mirror rewards can be withdrawn by the user. This allows the user to farm with leverage with increased yield in the form of Mirror tokens issued as staking rewards, but there is a liquidation risk should the value of Mirror drop. Let's consider two scenarios. If the value of the LP asset remains constant or increases, the user can claim the Mirror rewards and restake them, growing the LP value faster than the debt value. The user could also close the position, repaying the debt and taking the surplus Mirror. Let's look at scenario two. What if the value of the LP assets decrease, resulting in a liquidation? We start off with the same scenario. A user supplies Mirror and they borrow UST. The Mirror and UST are LP'd in the AMM and the LPs are staked in Mirror. In this circumstance, the Mirror price drops, decreasing the value of the LP below the liquidation threshold. When this happens, a liquidator provides the necessary UST to repay the debt and pockets the Mirror for a profit. Alpha Finance-styled leverage yield farming, as illustrated in this example, will be the first application built. But we can also imagine levered Yearn Finance-style vault strategies. An example would be a B-Luna ANC farming strategy. Let's talk about the third stakeholder, and that is the liquidators. In collateralized borrowing, when a borrower's loan-to-value ratio falls below the required maintenance margin, which happens when their collateral decreases in value relative to their debt, they are susceptible to being liquidated. Any address can repay a fraction of the borrower's debt in exchange for an equivalent amount of the borrower's collateral plus a bonus. Liquidators can choose to receive either liquidity tokens, which will be transferred from the borrower to them, or receive the underlying asset, which causes the borrower's liquidity tokens to be burned. Again, this is very similar to how we see liquidations currently working on Anchor Protocol. Smart contracts that wish to utilize C2C borrowing must have liquidation logic implemented that ensures their ability to repay regardless of market conditions. Developers are free to choose their preferred liquidation logic, but these must be approved by the Martian Council in order for C2C credit lines to be extended. As an example of how liquidation logic might work, we will explore the Mirror UST leveraged yield farming strategy. In this case, a user's asset is in the form of staked Mirror UST LP tokens. If the value of these LP tokens fall below the liquidation threshold, defined as a percentage of the user's debt, anyone can close the position. The assets are removed from the liquidity pool, and the UST portion is then immediately used to pay back the debt. An appropriate amount of Mirror is then sold for UST to cover any outstanding debt. Among the remaining assets, a portion is awarded to the liquidator, and the rest is refunded to the user. Section 3, Controller. Dynamic interest rates using control theory. The interest rate pricing problem. With traditional credit protocols such as Compound, the interest rate charged on borrowing a specific asset or token is set in a two-step process. First, a certain utilization rate, the amount borrowed versus the amount deposited, is targeted, which reflects the riskiness of that asset. Then, a curve is hard-coded that aims to discourage utilization past the optimal level by a sharply increasing slope, which represents a sharply increasing interest rate. The problem with this model is that the curve is fixed and cannot react to external market conditions. For instance, if there's a particularly good stablecoin farm paying 500% APR, then even at the 90% interest rate, corresponding to 100% utilization on most credit protocols, borrowers will still be unwilling to pay back their debts and depositors will be unwilling to supply more access to the pool. Similarly, if external yields are extremely low, then the interest rates charged may be too high and result in suboptimal utilization. This issue was extremely apparent during the first launch of Alpha Homora version 2. Yields on the Alpha Homora perpetual USDC pools were around 500%, whereas USDC depositors on Cream, who were lending to Alpha farmers, were only receiving 50% yields. As a result, there wasn't enough liquidity to enable farming on Alpha. In traditional models, the only way to address this is by changing the credit protocol's interest rate model via a governance vote. This is slow, difficult to implement, and it requires an extremely active governance process that can constantly react to market conditions. The Mars solution, reactive interest rates. Note, the Mars dynamic interest rate model described hereafter will not immediately be activated for Mars version 1, but may be activated via governance whenever the community deems the protocol is ready. This is because the dynamic interest rate model relies on supply and demand of capital being responsive to changes in interest rate. However, the Mars lock drop is likely to make supply inelastic, while risk limits on the borrow side will also make demand inelastic. As a result, Mars will launch with traditional two-slope interest rate curves, such as the one described in the previous section, and open source the dynamic interest rate model such that the community can implement it when it wants. This launch process will allow Mars to safely launch with well-known traditional interest rates that will probably behave better under the particular conditions of the demand and supply sides of the protocol, while eventually allowing the community to upgrade to the reactive interest rate model when considered optimal. In this section, a different solution will be presented. While Mars will initially launch with a two-slope interest rate model given the supply and demand constraints mentioned previously, this model will be made available for the community to deploy once those constraints are no longer present. This model still targets an optimal utilization rate, but rather than doing so via a curve, it uses control theory to allow interest rates to adapt dynamically to market conditions. In the traditional credit protocol model described above, the interest rate is calculated based only on the current utilization rate. Our idea with this model is to look at the utilization as a parameter that can be manipulated by another parameter. Think of it like temperature in a physical system that can be manipulated using heating and cooling units. Keeping a response parameter constant is quite a common problem in control theory, and there is a well-known method to solve it, the proportional integral derivative, or PID controller, and its variance. A PID controller continuously calculates the difference between the desired point, or optimal utilization point, and actual value, or the actual utilization point. Then it continuously corrects itself based on the proportional derivative and integral terms. The proportional derivative integral contains three terms, each with its own purpose. 1. A proportional term. This yields a corrective response based on the error between target and actual utilization. Kp is a constant, which determines the magnitude of change in interest rate for a given error. 2. Integral term. This takes into account historical errors and integrates them in order to eliminate the residual error. Ki is a constant which determines how quickly IR should adjust based on previous errors. 3. Derivative term. This estimates the future trend of the error based on its current rate of change. Kd is a constant which allows us to modulate the corrections to avoid overshooting. We propose a way to implement this method in credit protocols. We assume that interest rate is the main factor that drives the utilization and set that as the control parameter in our model, with utilization being our response parameter. Our simulations show that the PID controller model is more responsive to changes in supply-demand conditions, and thus achieves more stable utilization. Mars Protocol has been created by a joint venture with Delphi Labs, which has helped devise the dynamic interest rate model. You can learn more about how this dynamic interest rate model works. Head over to Mars' Medium article entitled Exploring Mars Protocol's Dynamic Interest Rate Model, or check out the article on Delphi Research entitled Dynamic Interest Rate Model Based on Control Theory.
An intuitive way of understanding that is we set an optimal utilization of liquidity. And if the current utilization is below that, we want to incentivize utilization. And we do that by gradually reducing the interest rate. On the other hand, if the current utilization is higher, we want to disincentivize borrowing, and we gradually crank up the interest rate. And the further your the current utilization is away from the optimal utilization, we adjust the rate faster.
The goal is always to have an optimal utilization rate, right? Because you don't want it to be too high where depositors don't have liquidity, and you don't want it to be too low where it's just inefficient, right? And so the ways that protocols target that right now is with this curve that sort of like kinks up at the optimal to punish utilization above that rate with really high interest rates. But that curve is just like an estimate, right? It's just a protocol trying to figure out, okay, this looks right to me. It's not like a market determined price. Whereas the dynamic interest rate model is much more flexible and allows you to and react to market conditions. Because for example, there could be a situation where, let's say the interest rate at 100% utilization defined by the curve is like 90%, right? If there's a yield farming opportunity where people are borrowing and earning 300%, they're happy to pay that 90%, right? And so you have the situation where depositors are illiquid, whereas the dynamic interest rate model, it would actually keep adjusting upwards in that scenario until the interest rate was back at 90%. So that's kind of where it's at the extremes that it really like proves itself.
Section 4, token economics. Mars can be thought of in some ways as a bank of the future, operated and governed by a decentralized community via a transparent governance process. Like banks, Mars aims to attract deposits and lend out that money safely without incurring excessive risk. Mars will launch with a token called Mars, M-A-R-S. Mars's token economics, incentive design, and governance system are critical to achieving this goal. The Martian Council, a DAO of ex-Mars token holders, will govern the deploy instance of the Mars Protocol smart contract system, which is embraced by the community as the canonical Mars. The parameters to be set by the Martian Council will include which assets are subject to borrowing and lending by the system, the risk parameters for those assets, which third-party smart contracts will be eligible for C2C lending, and the risk parameters for those contracts. These decisions have consequences on the users, and in extreme cases, can lead to shortfall events, as described hereafter. Please note that the Mars joint venture is merely developing software designed to create certain incentives on the part of Mars and ex-Mars holders. Governance is ultimately a discretionary process subject to numerous uncertainties, and no specific governance outcomes can be guaranteed. Token architecture. The guiding principle behind Mars's token economics is that of skin in the game. Those making decisions should bear the consequences of those decisions, both positive and negative. In order to provide the Martian Council with an incentive to govern well, Mars distributes a portion of its fees to ex-Mars stakers in an ongoing basis through purchase of Mars, as further described later. In order to provide the Martian Council with an incentive to assume responsibility for governance failures, Mars does two things. One, it requires that members of the Martian Council stake their Mars to activate governance power. And two, it continuously routes a portion of fees generated by Mars to a safety fund, which can be tapped by the Martian Council to compensate users for shortfall events attributable to governance failures. Staking, ex-Mars. Mars holders who wish to participate in governance can stake their Mars tokens and receive ex-Mars in return, with an unstaking period of 7 days. ex-Mars has a few key properties. Governance. One ex-Mars equals one unit of voting power. Only ex-Mars, and Mars that's locked for contributors, can participate in governance, making decisions on asset listing, risk parameters, treasury spending, and more. Fees. ex-Mars holders will receive a share of protocol interest rate revenue. Similarly to SushiSwap's Sushi Bar contract, this will be done by using the revenue to buy Mars on the open market and adding it to the ex-Mars pool. Initially, this yield will be supplemented with Mars-based incentives. Safety fund. ex-Mars holders will be incentivized to backdrop protocol risk by using a pool of reserved AUST, or the safety fund, as a first resort source of recovery for shortfall events and staked Mars as a last resort source of recovery for shortfall events, with up to a 30% of their stake being locked and sold in case of shortfall event. Value flows. Initially, 80% of all interest payments will go to lenders, with the remaining 20% being split amongst the Mars Treasury, Safety Fund, and ex-Mars stakers. All of these parameters, including the reserve factor and percentage of fees flowing to each bucket, will be alterable by governance. ex-Mars governance rewards. The portion of Mars fees distributed to ex-Mars stakers should be seen as their reward for successful governance through the Martian Council. For example, if the Martian Council authorizes a C2C credit line, which functions as intended and delivers fees, the Martian Council will be rewarded for this effort through a pro rata share of a portion of the increased fees paid to Mars. ex-Mars governed safety fund and coverage of last resort. On the other hand, if the Martian Council suffers from a governance failure which causes losses to users, ex-Mars holders should be incentivized to compensate users in order to maintain the usage level of Mars and thus preserve the value of their staked Mars. A shortfall event occurs whenever the value of a borrower's debt exceeds the value of his or her collateral, resulting in a deficit for lenders. This is distinct from an illiquidity event where utilization rates are at 100 and lenders are unable to withdraw. In the latter case, LPs are illiquid but solvent, whereas in a shortfall event, the LPs are actually insolvent. Shortfall events can be caused by various risks such as smart contract exploits, bad liquidations, and/or Oracle attacks. To be clear, they should never happen under normal conditions and can be mitigated by good risk management. To date, shortfall events in credit protocols have been limited and, when they have occurred, resulted from exploits or economic attacks. However, when shortfall events do occur and are attributable to a governance failure, the Martian Council should be able to respond to its natural incentives by tapping funds available to compensate the injured users. To this end, the Mars system has two pools of funds available, which can be utilized by the Martian Council to cover a shortfall event. 1. The Safety Fund, a pool of AUST funded continuously by a portion of Mars fees. And 2. the pool of Mars that has been staked by ex-Mars holders. Ultimately, compensation cannot be guaranteed and is subject to the discretion of the Martian Council. However, based on the relevant incentives, we envision the Martian Council treating the safety fund as a coverage source of first resort and treating some socially defined percentage of staked Mars, for example 50%, as a coverage source of last resort. Overall, this model would be comparable in some ways to the governance model of MakerDAO, in which accumulated protocol fees are seen as the first source of recovery and Maker auctions are seen as a last source of recovery for making up system deficits. History to date shows that Maker holders have responded to these types of incentives, for example, by auctioning Maker in the wake of Black Thursday. Token distribution and allocation. A majority, or 70% of Mars, will be reserved for post-launch distribution to users and other types of participants in the Mars community. 30% of Mars will be reserved for entities who participated in the joint venture developing Mars and the service providers of those entities. In total, there are 1 billion Mars tokens. 70 million will be distributed at Genesis. 530 million will be distributed through staking incentives, liquidity mining, and other community building programs. 100 million will be distributed at the token generation event to fund reserves from the get-go. And 300 million will be in a 3-year post-launch lockup with distributions beginning 1 year after launch. Please note that the token distribution is subject to change. Section 5. Why Terra? Trustless stablecoin. We build on Terra because we believe a decentralized financial system should not be reliant upon centralized stablecoins. The dominance of BUSD, USDT, and USDC on existing DeFi ecosystems poses a systemic risk and remains crypto's largest attack vector. Regulation, state-level attacks, or simple negligence by centralized stablecoin issuers can lead to assets being frozen and/or significantly devalued. Under such attacks, any DeFi protocol that relies upon these assets as part of liquidity pools or as collateral would face potential insolvency. Fundamentally, we believe there's no point having a censorship-resistant base layer blockchain if the applications on top of it are built around easily censorable assets. Decentralized stablecoins other than DAI have failed to achieve meaningful market penetration. DAI, while widely adopted, is partially collateralized by centralized, censorable assets, and thus inherits their vulnerabilities. From our perspective, UST is the only truly decentralized stablecoin functioning at scale. This makes UST the clear choice. Cross-chain hub. The latest version of Terra, Columbus 5, features support for Cosmos inter-blockchain communication protocol, enabling cross-chain communication between Terra and other IBC-compatible proof-of-stake chains. Terra also has wormhole bridges connecting Terra to Ethereum and Solana, which will eventually enable arbitrary messaging between contracts to any of these chains. We believe that the next generation of DeFi protocols will not be siloed on a single chain, but accessible from multiple chains. Thus, Terra is the ideal home base to provide flexibility for potential cross-chain uses of Mars. Low cost. Transaction costs on Ethereum are uneconomical for smaller market participants. We share DeFi's core ideals of inclusion, making high transaction costs a non-starter. While Layer 2s are coming, the only option available now is a sidechain. We feel that presents too large a trade-off in decentralization. Terra's low transaction costs and confirmation times enable more users to participate and greatly improve user experience. They also open up the design space, allowing, among other things, the on-chain computation required to run our dynamic interest rate model. A burgeoning DeFi ecosystem. Terra's DeFi ecosystem already has over $18 billion total value locked, with an established core covering stablecoins, exchanges, synthetics, and savings accounts. Since Terra's addition of support for Cosmos's CosmWasm smart contract framework, there has been a Cambrian explosion of projects building on Terra. These protocols and users will require a well-designed and efficient credit protocol to interoperate with them. Mars Protocol can fulfill this role. Section 6. Trust-Minimized Agile Governance. Mars Governance will be designed to provide trust-minimized agility by combining Mars Governance with the use of multi-sigs that are subject to checks and balances by the Martian Council. Similarly to other parameterized DeFi protocols like MakerDAO, the C2C lending features of Mars will require the community to rally around a powerful risk framework, leveraging the wisdom of the Martian Council. More details on Mars Governance is forthcoming. 7. The future. Mars Protocol will encompass the features outlined in this document with a targeted Q2 2022 launch. As far as future plans go, Mars Protocol is a decentralized project. Anyone can permissionally contribute to its development by making a proposal to the DAO. Together, we aim to build the leading DeFi credit protocol, becoming the lender of choice for both consumers and dApps. We hope the vision we describe inspires teams across the space to join us and help contribute to Mars Protocol. Mars Protocol is a completely new credit protocol purpose-built for the Terra ecosystem. It puts an emphasis on usability and composability, not just for crypto natives, but for the industry's next 1 billion users. By bringing true utility to all forms of value, Mars will be a catalyst for Terra's next wave of exponential adoption. The future awaits. For more information on Mars Protocol, head to marsprotocol.io.